There's no time like a bright summer or almost summer day to appreciate a shiny car. Shiny older cars will be in abundance around the region this weekend. It is the week of the Medford Cruise and a Father's Day car show in Yreka. There are probably others, and we welcome your input on those. But first, let's get some idea of the allure of classic cars. Two guests join us. Rich Gabrielson joins us from Siskiyou County, where he is a member of the Siskiyou CHVA, or the Contemporary Historical Vehicle Association. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you. And we have a guest at a national level as well. Dan Stroll is the web editor for Hemmings Auto News, which began as a magazine and now has a big web presence about all things auto. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. Rich, let's come to you first. The name is a little confusing. Contemporary but historical at the same time?
Basically, it's a fancy way to say that we just love driving old cars. The group is more into tours and you know, going places and learning things about the places that we visit. Our club welcomes all cars or any road vehicle as far as that goes, motorcycles, trucks. We even had a couple 18-wheelers show up at the show, you know, 25 years or older, and we just like driving our old cars.
So, Rich, what kind of a vintage car do you have, and did you buy it as a relic or just keep it long enough until it became a relic?
Well, you got about 2 hours, I can tell you, but we'll try to make it a little bit shorter.
Okay.
1955 Pontiacs are my passion, particularly the Pontiac Safari. Now, if anybody is familiar with the Chevrolet Nomad, the Pontiac Safari is Pontiac's version of that car. They share the same sloped roof line and a lot of the parts, but the rest of it is strictly all Pontiac. Basically, I started out with one back in 1984 that had quite a bit of rust. That led to buying a parts car that was too nice to part out, which we've made into a cruiser. It's a bright orange Chieftain two-door post sedan. I've got over 60,000 miles on that car since '89, driving it on tours. That led to collecting a whole slew of spare parts, to the point that I ended up with enough parts that I am building a second 55 Pontiac Safari from all the spare parts that I've collected for the first one, because the first one just won't quit running. It just goes along in all its rusty glory.
Wow. So has the Internet made getting parts for the cars that much easier?
Oh, let me tell you. You know, I got interviewed at Hot August Nights back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The guy asked me, you know, why a Pontiac and not a Chevrolet, because Chevys are so popular. You know, I told him, Chevrolet, all you need to restore a Chevy is a credit card and a catalog. Pontiacs, you have to search for the parts, right? But then the Internet came along, and suddenly on eBay, of all places, parts I'd been searching for years and years, like power antennas and wire wheel hubcaps, bingo, they're available. You know, they're not cheap because it's Pontiac, but, you know, I now have everything except the upholstery done on this new one, and the only reason the upholstery is not done is the guy that supplied the material sent the wrong color.
Oh, all right. We'll get that taken care of, though. So Rich obviously is not alone. Dan Stroll, does the American love affair with cars continue unabated in your view?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, you know, people are always attracted to the cars that they grew up with, the cars that were in their high school parking lot. And, you know, it's tougher for younger generations to get into it these days just because, you know, younger generations have, you know, student loans and, you know, houses are more expensive, everything's more expensive. But, you know, they're also more interested in, you know, the cars that they grew up with. You know, I mean, the 55 Pontiac is a great example of, you know, what the baby boomers like to see. Younger generations, you know, they're more interested in, you know, Subarus. They're more interested in, you know, 70s and 80s cars.
Right. Okay, so the cars of childhood, that was one of the basic questions, whether it's the cars you remember that tend to appeal the most. But some of the real old stuff appeals, too, on a sort of exotic alien level, doesn't it, Dan?
A little bit, yeah, and some of the clubs are definitely to be commended for what they've done. You look at the Model T Club, Model T Ford Club of America. They've been really active in getting younger generations interested in Model Ts, which you wouldn't expect that,
no.
But you definitely see, you know, a lot of 15, 16 year olds getting into them, restoring them, And I read constantly in their newsletter about 16-year-olds taking their driving tests in a Model T.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. So a CHVA is obviously just one. Are there lots and lots of organizations for classic cars that you're aware of, Dan?
Oh, there are plenty. Probably the largest nationwide club is the AACA, Antique American, or AACA is the best way to search for it. But there are definitely clubs on both regional levels. There are clubs dedicated to different slices. Like I said, the Model T Ford Club of America is dedicated just to Model Ts. There's clubs for Model As, clubs for Pontiacs, clubs for Chevrolets, you name it, there's a club out there.
We're talking about classic cars here in the Jefferson Exchange. You can join the conversation with Dan Stroll, the web editor at Hemmings Auto News, and Rich Gabrielson from the Siskiyou chapter of the Contemporary Historical Vehicle Association, here and after referred to as CHVA. Do you have a car you covet, one you have restored and lovingly taken care of, or one you would love to have? I mean, let's talk about the car that might be in your dreams. 800-838-3760 as we continue to talk about classic cars. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Rich, how big is the CHVA Siskiyou chapter?
Well, that's part of the problem is that we're kind of aging out. We got now about 11 families. We send out 26 newsletters. The car show on Father's Day, it's a free car show. In other words, most car shows and events, they charge the owner of the classic car to show their car off. When, in fact, those classic cars are what bring the crowds in, and sometimes, it just gets out of hand. You could do a car show every single weekend throughout the summer, but the cost can be anywhere from $25 to show your car at a small show to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars like for the big shows like Reno's Hot August Nights and Medford Cruise and so on. So we've just decided we don't charge for you to bring your car to our show. We take donations. That's the only way we keep the thing going year after year. And luckily, the people who bring their cars in have been very, very generous. And even the people who walk through the door to take a look will drop a buck or two into the pot so we can just keep this thing going. No, but we really, really are searching for younger people. You know, I mean, the cutoff date for ours is 25 years old, so... By golly, youngster out there, if you got an 89 Honda you're proud of, come on down, you know.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, 25 years old takes you to 1992 at this point. So
yeah. Is it that? Senior moment, what can I say?
Well, I'm feeling it with you. So the I understand the Father's Day car show and the pancake breakfast you're having in Wairika. This is 8 to 3 on Sunday at the Siskiyou Golden Fairgrounds. There's some history behind this event. It's been going on for quite some time, it sounds like.
Yes, yeah. This is our 36th annual event. I've only been up here for, 7 years now. I belong to the CHVA called the Redwood Region down in Northern California. I was originally from the Bay Area and finally got smart and got into a county that only has 5 traffic lights in the entire county. And I love it here. I'd never go anywhere else. When we go back down to visit family in the Bay Area, my goodness, you're a nervous wreck. But I'm sort of rambling. Sorry.
All right, but it's okay. Let's take a call in here. Steve and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking classic cars with Rich Gabrielson and Dan Stroll.
Yeah, I used to own a 1941 Studebaker President, and it was beautiful, but I finally had to walk away from it because I could not find parts. What do you do in a situation like that?
Okay, let's put that one to Dan. Do you have a better idea than Rich does?
Sure, yeah. There's definitely plenty of sources on the Internet, but it's kind of easy to get lost, and it's kind of tough to find good, reliable sources through the Internet. I'd say the best way to find parts for something like that would be to join a Mark-specific club. So for your Studebaker, you want to join the Studebaker Drivers Club. Through the club, you'll find people who have hoarded parts for Studebakers for decades. people who actually used to own Studebaker dealerships 50 years ago. They'll be able to point you in the right direction.
So are there factions, Dan, within the classic car community? Like, do the owners of cars from the 30s think the people who show cars from the 60s are dumb kids or something like that?
Like I said before, it's definitely a generational thing, and I still encounter people who think that anything built after World War II is a modern car.
Right. Rich, how much work and money does it take to keep an old car like your 55 Pontiac Safari on the road?
Well, over the let's see, since 84 till now, I've spent $60,000. Of course, that's not all in one lump sum, and that's keeping 355 Pontiacs going. I don't use any of my family money to build these cars with. I actually rebuild generators and starters for classic cars, and I sell them on eBay, and that's what pays for my hobby. I got into the Pontiacs. My wife passed away when she was 50 years old, basically lung cancer due to her smoking addiction. And I was down in the dumps, and I've got six kids, and they said, you know, Rich, you know, why don't you restore that old station wagon you've had for so long? And that got me back into it. It started out buying the two-door post parts car, which I turned into a cruiser. One of the things that the old car hobby you were talking about, you know, do certain factions frown or smile upon different. The latest thing is to take these cars and update them with more modern running gear, you know, fuel-injected engines, mm-hmm. Power disc brakes, rack and pinion steering, you know, air conditioning, cruise control. And, you know, there are a lot of people that are in the Mark clubs, like the Pontiac Club, that, oh, if you mention you modified your car, it's, oh, my goodness, you're ruining history. But in the fact, you know, what good is a car if it's just sitting in your garage as a trophy? I'd rather be out there behind the wheel. This last September, our CHVA International had a tour to South Dakota, so Rich hops in his orange 55 Pontiac. I stuck a cruise control in it, and off we went to South Dakota from Yreka, California. And I just, you know, the only trouble I got into is I saw that high speed limit sign at the salt flats there, and I buzzed along with all the Hondas and Hyundais. And when I got into Wyoming, my poor old Pontiac says, okay, no more of that. Start dripping oil here and there. And so now I need to do a little bit of work because I got carried away. But that's my joy. My joy is behind the wheel, mm-hmm. sitting in a hot parking lot, showing your car off. The fun part of that is talking to all the people who walk by and say, you know, I learned how to drive in that car, or my grandpa had one of these cars, or, oh, my God, I sold one for $100, and look what they're worth now.
Right, lots of memories that come with the cars, for sure. Let's take a call. Here's Wayne in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Rich Gabrielson and Dan Stroll.
Oh, I really love this. This is great. I buy older cars and drive them just because it's the economical way to go. And I used to do Volvos, but now I do the old GMs. I've got a 91 Oldsmobile custom cruiser wagon, big wide frame and a rear wheel drive and big V8 and low gearing and tons of torque, climb the mountains, drive around in your living room. And the 91, I think they only made them in 91, a little bit of 92 in the Oldsmobile version, and then the Buick version is Roadmaster, and I've got a 91 of that and a 96 the last year they made that one. But I buy them because you can get them for $1,200-$1,500 and 100,000, 150,000 miles on them. Usually maintain pretty well, except they're banged up because grandma can't turn her head and they're so big. You know? They're mechanically great, and those engines go forever. So
wow.
I'm wondering about the 91 custom cruiser, how rare, how many of those are out there still?
All right, let's find out. Thanks for the call, Wayne. Appreciate that. Rich, anything you're familiar with there?
Well, I I'm probably not the one to ask about that.
Okay, let's try Dan.
The easy way to find out, of course, would be to do a search for 91 custom cruisers mm-hmm. for sale on the Internet, and that's going to tell you how many are still out there and still available.
Dan, let me flip it around this way, though. We're running out of time here. I've got about a minute and a half left, and I just want to get into the kinds of things that are becoming considered classic cars now, and whether your mind is getting blown occasionally by the kinds of things that people do find value in. Like, vehicles you didn't think were particularly exceptional in their time, but now people just love them.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing about growing up is the cars that you used to see all over the road like cockroaches. Now they're pretty valuable. I saw a old it was a quad 442. It was the 80s, early 90s version of the 442, and saw that the other day, and I was like, whoa, that did blow my mind, because I haven't seen one of those in a while, and all of a sudden I see one here, and it's running along like with the rest of traffic, so I thought that was pretty neat. But, if you go to any of the, like the AACA has a 25-year cutoff, Rich's Group, CHVA has a 25-year cutoff, and it does kind of blow your mind sometime when you go to these shows and you see a car from, you see a front-wheel drive Chrysler minivan from the 80s, and those are not only being collected, they're being restored these days.
Huh.
And that's the kind of car that we grew up in.
Right. So does anybody foam over K cars from the 80s or anything like that?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, K cars are getting to be pretty big. Like I said, a lot of the 80s and 90s cars are starting to come in. They're not necessarily bringing high dollars just yet, but the 70s Datsuns, those are going to be pretty valuable. The BMW 2002s from that era, those are starting to be pretty hard to find.
Mm-hmm. So Dan, I just got time for one last question. If the world turns solidly to self-driving cars, will the romance be lessened?
No, I think that those of us who continue to love old cars will keep doing it even while people drive newer cars. That's been the way it is forever. There's always been the people who glom onto new cars and switch them out every 3 years, but then there's always going to be people like us who will keep holding on to our old cars. Rich will keep driving his 55 Safari until the end of time.
He will indeed. You can see the 55 Safari and a bunch of other cars at the Father's Day Car Show and Pancake Breakfast on Sunday at the Siskiyou Golden Fairgrounds in Wairika. The Medford Cruise, of course, taking place, the major event Saturday 5 to 8 in downtown Medford. Rich and Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.